Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Oh, hi. I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan.
Part two.
Just the bits.
Come on, come all. It is Saturday. You know what that means. It's best bits time, y'all. I'm so happy you're here. We've got a lot to talk about on the show this week. But before we do that, be sure to check out part one this weekend with Scuba Steve. Not only did we talk about crazy things that have happened at weddings, I have a wild story where I pulled an all-nighter and potentially going to a singles event in Nashville for Valentine's Day also. What is the time that we were so angry we did something crazy? And you know Scuba Steve has a great story for that one. So go to part one, listen to that. Part three, you'll hear listener Q&As. So Jessica wanted to know all about how Scuba met his wife, how it was a show bit, and then they fell in love. And then Mackenzie wanted us to talk about hobbies because she's trying not to drink so much. So a lot of cool stuff on part one, part three. But like I said, big show, well, big five shows. How do you say that? Guys, my brain's hurting. It's Saturday. Big shows happen this week on the Bobby Bone Show, and that's what we're about to dive into. That's what you're here for, to get a recap. So let's go.
Woo-hoo!
It's the tale as old as time. Raymundo believes Sam Hunt would like to hang out with him. So Raymundo commented something on Sam Hunt's Instagram post. Sam Hunt responded, and well, Ray took it very literally. And that is all I'm going to say, because you'll hear this and you'll think Ray may have a little bit of a stalker problem happening with Sam Hunt. I'm just going to point the obvious and let you hear for yourself.
Number seven.
Raymundo, our audio producer, is the biggest Sam Hunt fan. He traveled across the country to go to a show, went to the meet and greet. He got a Christmas gift from Sam once and didn't take it off forever.
Mm-hmm.
He comments on every picture. He dresses like him. Ray loves Sam Hunt.
Yeah.
And so you post on every picture.
I do.
And what did you post, and what picture was it?
He was outside. It was his first snow, his child's, and he did a caption said first snow or something. I said, awesome, man. I'm going to bring over a 30 rack of beer. I'll bring some Bailey's and hot chocolate for the chicks. Let's hang. And then he responds back, bring it.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
I want to introduce you to my kids. Yeah.
So this is what happened. This picture was posted. It just says snow day, exclamation point. It's Sam, and his right arm is holding his young child that's probably a year old. Okay? Young child's got a beanie on. Sam doesn't. Ray does say the following. I'm heading to your hill now. I picked up a 30 rack for the boys and some cocoa and Bailey's for our ladies. And then at Sam Hunt Music says, bring it. And it has 19 likes on it.
He does say that, doesn't he?
That's legit.
So Ray thinks he should actually get it and go to Sam's house.
No. 100%.
100%.
No, you guys are out of your mind. First of all, I bet that's not even Sam who wrote that.
Oh.
That's probably a social media person.
No. They wouldn't just happen to reply to Sis and Raymundo. They know that Ray, that is Sam.
Does Sam Hunt want Ray to come to his house and bring a 30 rack and cocoa and Bailey's?
Yes. No, I mean, no, because here's the thing. Ray
rack.
Is already acting.
I don't
acting,
know what that means. Is that
it's
right?
A 30 like, pack of beer, I guess.
Okay. I think Sam gets the, like the... That he's what? Being playful, sarcastic, like, hey, I'm headed to your hill now. Like, he's not. So he's replying with also just like the
fantasy. A playful of, like, fan. But I don't think Ray was being playful. I think Ray was like, throwing some bait out there.
Yeah, and we had a little bit of time off of work, so we're out of here early. So then I was thinking, I follow his brother on Instagram. Do I hit him up and ask for the address? Then I would just roll up. If Sam's not doing anything, you're not writing music right now. It's a snowstorm outside.
I think as long as you have a screenshot to prove it,
yeah,
it's totally fine.
That's like your pass.
Oh, my God.
But there was a thing that was a little sus then.
But you put that in underneath the windshield wiper when you drive to his house.
the screenshot?
Yeah, like a parking pass. You put the screenshot under the windshield wiper. What happened?
So he did that post, and then within 12 hours, he did another post, and it was for his tour.
But I don't understand.
I feel like his label wanted me to then really get back into the Sam love. Man, me and him are friends again, and then they wanted me to post his tour and then want to go to his Nashville show in March.
Is that why you didn't comment on the tour post? Because I'm looking for your...
Yeah, because then I thought I got got and I'm just a pawn.
But that's okay, because you love him so much, you're happy to get got.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, see? He's fine with that. Mm. He's fine getting got.
I don't know why you didn't say, what's the address? Or DM him.
Hey, just say, did you really mean this?
That'd be funny.
Dude. Like I'm half cringing.
But plays out for everybody to see.
But, like, you know, the artist doesn't say bring it. They usually just ignore you, or if they see it, they exactly. go, ah, that's funny, Ray.
So what should he do then? Let's have Ray have an execution point here. What should he do?
He DMs them with a picture of the 30 rack and the Baileys and all that and be like, dude.
That's funny. Yeah, I like it.
And so, say, what time works for you?
Do that. Do that with a picture. DM the picture. But he doesn't follow you, does he?
I don't know. But
so send him the picture of you holding that stuff.
Okay.
And be like, hey, I got it. Just hit me up with the address.
Sounds good.
So you're half playing because you can always be like, I'm joking. But then also if he's like, yeah, bring it, then you go.
Okay, dude. So that's why I brought it to you guys. Perfect.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so.
I feel like it's just a joke, but I'm anxious to see where this takes us.
What? Sam doesn't follow Ray. I checked.
Oh, no.
It's okay. You can still message him the picture.
All right.
He follows Michael Ray.
Oh, maybe he thinks Michael Ray is Ray.
Oh, my God. That's it. Oh. That's it.
Let's go. It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
When you're in a relationship, there are just some things you don't say to your partner. But maybe you get really mad or you get really sassy or you're just joking around and you've said something accidentally. Well, Bobby has a whole list of things that you're not supposed to say, these phrases to your partner. And the show got vulnerable and everybody kind of admitted different experiences they've had with said phrases. And maybe if you hear them, it'll make you feel a little bit better. Maybe you've said one of them. Or maybe if you're perfect and you've never said these phrases and you never would, and you're single and you're a dude, please call me. That's all I'm going to leave it for now. For all my relationship, married, wonderfully in love people, these are the phrases you might need to write down so you don't ever say them to your partner.
Number six.
Don't say these phrases to your partner no matter how angry you get. That's the head. This article by BOLDE Boldy. So they list 10 things you should not say to your partner regardless of how mad you get. And it's a tough situation to be feeling emotional and you're reacting and not responding. And it doesn't have to be your partner. You fight with anybody. It's tense. You say things sometimes you don't mean, just as a weapon. But let's go through the list. Be honest if you ever say it, okay?
Okay.
You're just like your parent. Yes. If I said that to my wife, she'd be like, she'd say thank you. Mm-hmm. And now if I said that to her, that'd be a compliment. So I would never use that one because our parents are awesome.
Oh,
you're just like your parent. Oh. Awesome? Yeah. Then we make out. That'd be a compliment. But you... Do you ever say that? Have you ever said that in a way that wasn't positive?
Yes.
And what are you referring to?
Just, what do you mean, like specifically? I'm not going to say that.
Well, no, like what trait?
Just something that her parent does. And I'm like, you're acting like you're...
Got it.
I say you're just like your mom.
Because her mom is?
Careful.
Correcting. Like she'll be visiting and I'll do something. She's like, oh, you shouldn't do it that way. And I'm like...
Got it.
And then my wife would be like, oh, we're okay. And then they leave. And my wife's, you shouldn't do it that way. I said, you are exactly like your mom right now.
And how does she react to that?
She's like, I'll work on that.
Oh, she says that?
That's good.
She listens to Big Daddy? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've had that said to me.
You're just like your parent?
Yeah. And it was frustrating because I could say that about my mom. But then when somebody else says it about my mom, like comparing me to her, I'm like suddenly like, what? What are you saying about my mom? And then all of a sudden, what are you saying about me? But
yeah.
The next one is so harsh, I would never even think to say it.
Uh-oh.
Come on.
I wish I never met you.
No.
What?
No.
Like when I'm arguing, I'll say stuff it's a game. It's a strategy. It's a battle. But I would never say I wish I never met you.
Okay. I've said that to my parents, but not my wife.
What? To your parents?
Oh, yeah, never met you?
You have no choice to meet them.
Though. I know, but it was like so frustrating, you know? You're like, I wish I didn't know you.
Really?
Yeah. Were you an adult?
Nah, that's when I was a kid.
Okay. Oh, I was going to say, that doesn't feel like an adult thing. Really,
that was yesterday, guys.
All right, the next one. You always or you never? And I do that. I do that all the time.
Always.
All the time.
Always.
I mean, you're doing it right now, you too.
Yes.
Always.
I always do it.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that, but also know that you shouldn't do it.
Both. Because I go, you always do it. She's like, don't say always, because you know I don't always do anything.
But she always.
I said, but then you always do this too, where you tell me not to do always. And then she's like, what?
Yeah.
I throw her off the scent a little bit.
It's a no-win, dude.
I know. Yeah. The next one. You're overreacting.
Oh, yeah.
Constantly.
Yes.
Yep.
Constantly.
You and I'm probably the
one.
Say that?
Yeah. And I'm probably the one overreacting, but I'm like, no, you're overreacting. Don't worry, it's not a big deal. And she's like, well, to me, it is
a big
deal.
You're not validating their feelings when you say that.
I know I'm wrong.
Amy, there's no reason for you. No, we're all wrong.
We're not saying we're right, but I always tell her, you're always overreacting.
Oh, you're always overreacting.
I say that a double.
Oh,
wow. The worst is that here we go. You're overreacting again.
You never are rational.
I say you're rational too.
If I would have never met you, you'd never overreacted always.
All of them.
Slap her with all of them. Yeah, I did that one. This one?
Uh-oh.
Never.
Uh-oh.
I wouldn't even think, again, this wouldn't pop into my head to say, you're so hard to love.
No.
That's weird.
It's kind of,
right? That's quirky. No, you're hard to love, hard to love.
Do you think it could be said kind of two ways of like, you're hard to love, like negative, or like, you're hard to love because you don't let
I think she could say that to me, and I would not be mad, and I would understand, but my wife is not hard to love. I think I could be hard to love sometimes because I do not understand how to accept it or at times reciprocate it healthily.
Right.
But I think I wouldn't get that upset at that because I am.
I think it just depends how it's said.
I would never say that. Yeah. I would never say you're hard to love.
Me either, but.
The next one, I don't care anymore. Oh, yeah.
Oh, all the time. All the time.
Who doesn't say that?
And only say that about things I care anymore about.
Yep.
If I say, I don't care anymore, you know I really care.
So true.
Next one. Why can't you be more like ...
Oh, my wife does that to me.
Oh.
Be like who?
She compares me to... yeah, Lunchbox. She compares me to like other dads. Like, she'll be like, well, other dads do this. And I'm like, I'm not other dads. Go marry those other dads.
Do you ever say, why can't you be more like...
Never. No, I wouldn't... I know better than to compare her to someone else.
But she compares you to other dads?
Yes. Well, she just says, like, other dads do that. And I'm like, well, go marry them.
Is it a time thing? Oh, you say go marry them?
Yeah, well, then go marry those dads then.
What in the world?
How about this is all your fault?
Yeah.
No, I don't say that.
I might, but in a way that isn't so on the nose.
You rephrase it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like how, Bones?
Well, we're only here because of you.
Dang.
That's the same thing.
Like, we're only in this situation because of you?
I think. I'm just trying to be honest here. I feel like I unfairly could say that kind of thing. Like, okay, but we're fighting right now because of you.
Oh, yeah. I could see you saying that.
You need to shut your hole because I feel like you're sitting over there shooting your little pew-pews at me.
No, I'm not.
I mean, you are. You're playing little video games.
Pew-pew-pew.
Like Duck Hunt.
That's not true.
Do you ever do This Is All Your Fault?
Oh, yeah. Like, if we're late somewhere and then she's like, why are we always late? And I'm like, this is your fault.
I can hear you saying that.
Got her.
Like, you're the one that was doing this, or this, not getting ready. Like, this is your fault.
The phrases you should never say. These next ones are hardcore. There's two more.
Uh-oh.
No one's going to admit to saying this, and you probably haven't said this. I haven't said this. I hate you.
I hate you.
I hate you.
No.
What about to your parents when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
I wish I had a parent to say that to.
My daughter told me the other day, talking to me is... pointless.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's different, though.
I feel
Amy.
That, though. Yeah, she's got a point. You like that? You like that feels, Amy?
No.
When somebody comes at you?
Hey, maybe you should be more like Bobby and listen to her.
No, I was listening. It was over text, and we were trying to set up a time to have a conversation about what she wanted to talk about, but I didn't want to set her expectations. Like, I already know the answer, but I would like to hear her out. And then she said...
Why would you say you already know the answer, though? Just
because the answer...
That's not being open-minded.
Just say you want to hear her out.
I do want to hear her out.
Pew, pew.
I do want to hear her out, but I didn't want her going into it. I kind of laid out some reasons why I was saying what I was saying. Mm-hmm. I want to give her reasons. And then I guess she read the reasons as, even though I said, we're still going to have a talk, I want to hear where you're coming from. Her response was not to be rude, but this, like... We just don't even need to have the talk because talking to you is pointless.
I think what she meant to say was talking to you about this and trying to convince you to change your mind right. is pointless.
Yeah, I know it was
not in the general. Moment.
I remember saying stuff like that to my mom, so I get it. I just
well, she wasn't wrong though.
What?
She just said you weren't going to change your mind.
Well.
So yeah. the conversation was pointless.
It was
but
pointless.
It's not pointless for me to hear where she's coming
hashtag
from.
Hashtag justice for Shashira.
Shoot. It's not pointless for me to hear where she's coming from.
Number 10, the final one, you're useless.
Oh, no.
Wow.
I'd only say that once if I ever did.
Yeah, and that's the last
time.
And
I'd be dead. That's hardcore.
You're useless.
No, not that I can remember.
No, that's like, you don't even respect it. That he, I never get to a point in an argument where I just lose respect for the person completely.
Yeah. Right. Like, I mean, she is, she has use.
I say, excuse me.
Stop.
No, she does. She has use. So I can't really say that she's useless. I mean, there's just.
Like she cooks dinner.
She does cook dinner.
Gosh.
Laundry and stuff.
Okay.
Laundry. Yeah. I mean, what else?
Yeah, that is like, you are fighting to the extreme and you have just, it's probably
that's a new level.
And
you, yeah. I do say you always or you never. I do say you're overreacting. I do say I don't care anymore. I think those are the three.
But on there, it doesn't say you're not allowed to say you're irrational. So I say that
I do that a lot.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, they
say
that's
you're
okay.
not acting rational right now. Right. And it's hard for me to be rational with someone who's being irrational. Mm. And she's like, but what if you're being irrational and you just can't tell I'm being irrational because you're irrationality? And I'm like, God dang it. Why are you? Good point.
You want to say something, Amy? Go ahead. Take a
pew,
shot.
Pew. No, I was just curious in... You know, hearing all those, you shouldn't say them to partners or friends or at work or whatever. But do you ever say any of those things to yourself?
Yeah, everyone. I say all those to myself every day.
All of them?
In the mirror, I tell you, get ready for work.
See?
You're useless!
I hate you!
Right, but it's like, well, we shouldn't say them to others, so we shouldn't say them to ourselves either.
No, I need that motivation. I try to prove me wrong every day.
Okay.
Yeah. You're ugly! That's why your parents left!
Oh, no.
Oh, sorry.
Oh,
anyway,
gosh, that's terrible. All right.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
There was a viral video going around of Elle King performing at the Opry, and she had a lot to drink, and she was saying some things, and listeners had a lot to say about it. So Bobby decided to share his thoughts on the whole situation, and you guys always enjoy when Bobby will share things from a different perspective. So I wanted to put on here his opinions and what he thought of the video that was going around and just his thoughts on Elle King. So here you go. This is Bobby's thoughts on Elle King performing at the Opry.
Number 5.
We got this voicemail from Jennifer in San Antonio. Here you go.
I was just curious about your thoughts on Elle King's performance at the Opry this weekend. I know you play there a lot, so just wanting to know your thoughts.
I saw this on TikTok. That's where it came to me, and it was in my For You a bunch, and I thought it was old. I didn't realize this was at the Dolly Parton birthday tribute appearance. She looked pretty drunk when she was performing. Have you guys seen this?
No.
Okay, I have questions that I'm going to ask after I play this. What were your thoughts on it?
Oh, I popped up on Instagram. I thought, yeah, same thing as you. Like, okay, well, she had some stuff to drink
something. They did a big Dolly Parton 78th birthday celebration, and a lot of people were like, hey, look, this is not good what she did. She posted it. The Opry had to apologize for her too, but I'll play you some of it. This is the beginning of it. Play that number one. It's like karaoke at the bar when you can't keep up with the lyrics.
It does.
Everyone's like, holy we bought tickets for this. I'm not even gonna lie. Y'all bought tickets for this. You ain't getting your money back.
Yeah, sounds a little drunk, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
Let me play another one. Here is, I think it's her rant when she's done with the song even more. Here you go.
You ain't getting your money back. I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you one thing is true. Good. Because you ain't getting it. I'll tell you one thing more. I'll tell you one thing more. Hi, my name is Elle King. I'm f***ing hammered. We're celebrating Dolly's birthday, the good old fashioned way.
We celebrating Dolly's birthday with the bottle. I'll celebrate a birthday
in one way or two.
Elle, let's give him one of yours.
How about that? I don't know. Go ahead. Why don't you give me this? Let me see. If I tell you one thing, I can barely play another person's song. Let me see if I can play one of mine.
So here's the thing about Elle. She has a song called "Drunk, I Don't Want to Go Home." So kind of, you know, a little on brand.
It's her MO, man.
I like Elle a lot, so I'm biased. Yeah. I guess nobody wanted to say, hey, maybe you shouldn't go on. Or when you have a song "Drunk and I Don't Want to Go Home," it's just like, hey, you're really being who you say you are. Like, people will like that. Yeah, she. I guess the only thing that makes me uncomfortable is the cursing, because that goes out on like the AM radio.
Oh, yeah.
On a lot of stations. And they're bad words. And as someone who's been fined by the FCC, like, that makes me go, ooh. But I bet you she wishes she probably wouldn't have gone on as drunk. But my question is, I've never been drunk, so do you think she knew she was as drunk as she was? Like, when you're that drunk, do you know you're that off?
Yes, and you think you can play it off. Mm. You think you can act like, oh, look, I got it. Composed. Oh, yeah.
No one will notice.
It doesn't really work.
And have you ever done anything and said anything drunk that a day or two later you look back like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that?
Yes.
Okay, so that's normal too.
Right, guys?
Amy's the only one that answered, but yeah.
Why is nobody else answering?
Yeah.
Surely.
So yeah, how do you think she's feeling today? Do you think she's like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that? Or is she just, you know, that's who I am? Or a little bit of both.
Maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Maybe they were all just like, hey, yeah, we're here. We're celebrating Dolly's birthday. Like, let's have a good time.
The Opry said, we deeply regret and apologize for the language that was used during last night's second Opry performance. Yeah.
So it's just the language they're apologizing for?
I think this is who she is.
It's also not Stephen Curtis Chapman doing this, right? The Christian artist who's being somebody that he's not. Like,
and it's definitely not the first time someone's had too much to drink at the Opry.
And again, that's kind of, it's a little bit her brand.
Right. Yeah. I think it's probably the language for the radio, and
maybe
then, like,
the Dolly
if there was kids in the audience.
There are kids in the audience.
Yeah.
I think Hank Williams was drunk at the Opry.
Got kicked out.
Wasn't
allowed. Yeah, but he kicked out the lamps.
Yes, the bulbs that were on the floor of the stage.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, because I think like she hosted New Year's Eve like in Nashville, and I think people said the same thing. Like
she's drunk.
Yeah. So I think that's just who she is.
I think if she wasn't as likable, people would probably be a little angrier. She's awesome.
She did sound kind of mean, though, in that clip.
Yeah.
Oh, what? I found her to be endearing.
Really? Really? So you ain't getting your money back?
I think she's like joking. Like, I suck. You ain't getting your money back. Yeah, I'm drunk. Like,
and then she's like, I can't even sing her song. You think I can sing mine?
Yeah, I thought that was funny. Like, I don't know.
We'll use it as a learning experience. I'm not going to hate on her. The curse words bother me a little bit just because there are kids in the audience.
Absolutely, yeah.
But other than that, you know, just maybe.
Right, like, I don't think it's that bad.
Yeah. Well, she didn't know the word. I mean, she got off the words and started doing nama.
And also, we don't know the full picture or what she has going on. Like, if it was someone that we knew, maybe, I mean, she could be having a good time. But when you know someone maybe really has a problem, something like that would be very, like, I think we'd be talking about it in a different way. Like, we don't know her circumstance. But, you know, if someone was out and we knew publicly they had a problem, it'd be like,
gosh. I don't know if that's her thing.
No, I don't think so either. But
I like her band person jumps in. It's like, no, we're going to do some good songs here. She like tries to save her. Oh, no, I got you. And I was like, no, you don't.
It's Dolly's birthday,
guys. It's Dolly time.
Let's go. It's the best bits of the week. Show. With Morgan number two.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy.
Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The man, the myth, the legend, Chris Stapleton. He is back in studio this week, and it was super fun to hear from him because he's just great. I feel like the more Chris Stapleton comes in the studio, the more we hear some very just normal human stories from Chris Stapleton. And I don't know about you guys, but when I think of Chris Stapleton, I kind of think of like a unicorn, and I just don't think he's real. So when he talks about real stories about being a dad and going bungee jumping and being afraid of things, I'm like, who are you? This is not the Chris Stapleton that I pictured in my head. So that's what you're going to get, is a very down-to-earth, real human Chris Stapleton in this interview. And I think you'll love it. So tune in for the whole thing. And if you want to watch it, you can jump out real quick, go to our YouTube page and watch it. But if you're just an audio listener and want to hang out, this is the full interview with Chris Stapleton.
Number four. It's a Bobby Bones Show interview.
In case you didn't know.
All right, coming in from the Hyundai Green Room right now is our buddy Chris Stapleton. Broken Halos monster. Broken Halos. He's up for three awards at the 66th annual Grammy Awards coming up. Doing those shows with George Strait and Little Big Town. He is the voice of Monday Night Football from Kentucky. What else is there to say about this guy?
He can sing.
That we don't know and adore and love. Coming into the studio now, here he is. Oh, there he is. Come on in, Chris. Chris Stapleton.
Yeah.
Friday morning conversation with
Chris Stapleton. Good to see you, buddy. What's your hat there? That's Nashville?
Nashville Sounds.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I think that's what I'm wearing. Is it blue and red?
Right there. On it.
Oh, there we go.
Boom. Nashville Sounds?
I think so.
You a big baseball guy?
I like baseball. Yeah.
I used to be a big baseball guy, and I still am a kind of a baseball guy, but baseball's kind of too slow now. They play too many games. 162 games. I can't keep up with enough to be a big.
Well, they changed the rule, though.
The pitch clock.
Yeah, and that speeds it up.
But it's still 162 games.
You don't have to watch all of them.
I do, because I'm going to bet them.
No.
So I got to watch them all. What about football? You watch a lot of football?
No. I mean, I don't watch a lot of sports, period. I like to go to games.
What's your favorite kind of game to go to?
A good one.
Yeah?
any sport, it doesn't matter. You know, if it's a good game, a slow game that's, kind of sloppy play, I don't want to see that. But I want to see guys, getting after it.
What about coaching? Would you ever coach?
No.
Your kids? Ever?
No.
You wouldn't coach any 7-8-year-old?
I'm a terrible teacher. I'm a terrible coach. I don't think I could do any of that.
Why? I feel like you're a warm person. You write lyrics. You know what to say. Why don't you feel like you never assistant coached?
No, couldn't do it.
No patience?
I have patience. I just don't have the skill to teach. It's a real skill. It's like a talent.
It's not. Eddie coaches kids.
Yeah, 9-year-old basketball.
Yeah, dude never played a game in his life.
Yeah. I do it.
He thinks the ball is square.
Yes, but do they get better?
Yeah,
we won a few games. Just a few.
Okay, well, I don't know. I mean, a lot of it also has to do with I work on the weekends a lot. So,
yeah.
And a lot of those things happen on the weekends.
Yeah, the great thing about working on the weekends is if you want to drop your kids off of school, you could probably do that. And think about that for artists. Like, you guys are able to have a somewhat normal and an abnormal life. Like, that would be pretty nice. Because you're gone every weekend.
Not every weekend. I mean, you try to adjust that to where you're not.
But like my life, I got to wake up at 3:00 in the morning. It sucks.
I don't know.
No, I do. It sucks, Chris. I think you didn't hear me.
What time are you done?
10 p.m.
Okay. And you have to go to bed at what time?
10 p.m.?
10 p.m.?
Yeah. I mean, I just work all day, all night.
Yeah.
I don't have any kids yet, though.
Right.
So
I have five, so you and I have nothing to talk about.
You there. Know, so let me ask you a couple questions about me then, because we're eventually going to have kids.
Right.
What's fun about them?
There's lots of stuff that's fun about them.
Because I feel like it's they're just taking up time. Like, what's fulfilling about
them? Easy, man.
Don't play this back.
I don't have any kids, right? Yeah. I'm literally asking you a question. You have five kids. But what do I do? You just always got to take care of them. I've been very selfish my whole life. I've lived by myself. I didn't get married till 40, and I don't have any kids. But it just feels like, holy crap, once you have a kid, you don't even have a life anymore. True or false?
I think that's false. You have a different life.
Okay.
You know, it's a different life. Your life is in a lot of ways dedicated to helping them become. Man,
I just feel like I'm too selfish for that.
I don't think you are. I think you probably have it. Like, you do a lot of charity work. Right?
I do. I think a fear, too, is I didn't have a dad growing up. And,
right.
And I didn't have parents that were together. Okay. And my mom was out. I never saw models. I never saw parents.
Okay.
So maybe I feel like, maybe I'm just scared I'm going to be a terrible parent, and I'm using all of this as a cover for that.
Okay. Well, I mean, that could be true. That sounds like I'm not a therapist here, but this got real hard.
Play
one.
Play a therapist. Right? You got five kids. I'm scared to death. I'm going to be like my biological father but jump out.
Well, I mean, I think there's a wanting to be better than the parents that you had.
Yeah.
Even if you had good parents, is if you start there, you're in a good spot.
Yeah, I think it just scares me. When somebody says they have two kids, I'm like, why? Like, why?
What other things scare you?
Heights.
Heights. I'm scared of heights. I got that one.
You ever jumped out of a plane?
No.
I did.
I wanted to.
I did.
You jump out of a plane? See, you're scared of heights and you jump out of a plane.
I did it by myself. I drove up to the place by myself because I was scared to death and said, I want to jump out of a plane. And they thought I was like a suicide bomber or something. I was by myself going, I want to jump out of a plane. And so I went up with a family I didn't know and jumped out of a plane.
Did you do it because you were afraid of it?
Yes.
So by that logic, are you going to have kids just because you're afraid of it?
Not just because. I will have kids because I love my wife and she, and I think I do want to have kids. But if I jump out of the plane and I die, that's on me. If I bring a kid into the world and I suck, that's on them. You know?
It is. And, you know, listen, you're going to fail. We're all going to fail as parents.
That's true. 100%.
You can't be a perfected parent. And I think you have to allow yourself that. And then, you know, discuss it with your children, too. Like, you know, it's okay to apologize to your children. Say, hey, man, sorry, I was out of line there. And that's not something that we had as a generation, I don't think, before us or even particularly before,
right,
you know, our parents' generation. Like, but I think that's probably the healthiest way to handle it is allow yourself to be human in it. And your kids will see that and hopefully, you know, forgive you for your shortcomings and then really kind of adopt your strengths.
I'll have a kid. You jump out of a plane. We'll make the deal right here.
I don't think I'm allowed to jump. I don't think my life insurance allows me to jump out of a plane.
No, I'm playing.
Listen, I wanted to jump out of a plane at one point in time.
Why? What happened that made you not jump out?
I was young and single. You know, like, I just never did it. Bungee jumping. Have you done that one?
No.
No?
I feel like that's less safe than airplane.
Yeah, see, I got in line to do that one time.
Yeah.
One of those things on like a tower. And while I was in the line, it snapped on a guy.
No. No way.
I'm not kidding.
You are...
How many people in front of you?
Oh, maybe. I mean, it was a long line. It was maybe 25, 30 people.
But while you were there, oh my.
I was in line and snapped on a guy. Now they had the big cushion below because maybe this happens all the time. I don't know. But, you know, the guy landed in the thing and he was fine. But that was the moment that I got out of line to do a bungee jump.
There's no way.
What's amazing is other people stayed in the line.
Because now what are the odds it's going to break, right?
Yeah, well, they're going to fix that. You
know? I'm out when it does that. Where do you find your joy, not work? Because we talk about work a lot and your music and your grade, you're the best, A+, king of the world. But like, what do you like that's not music related at all? Where you kind of find yourself? Yeah.
Well, I love my job and I love, you know, I would sit and play a guitar for enjoyment. And technically that's probably work, but it's also something I would just sit and do.
And it's probably something that since you love it, you've gotten really good at. That's what I tell people when I speak to them. It's like, hey, if you find something that you love to do, you'll naturally get better at it because you love to do it. So you're going to be doing it so much.
Right. You know, but just make your vacation your vocation kind of thing, you know. But definitely guitar, but, you know, just spending time with the family and, you know, being around my kids and watching them you know, doing whatever they want to do. You know, if it's playing video games or, you know, building Legos with them or drawing pictures or whatever that is. You know, that those things I enjoy quite a bit.
Can you draw? Are you a pretty good artist?
No. I mean, I'm okay. I'm not, you know, I draw a mean cartoonish Stegosaurus, I'll tell you that.
Is that from having to draw a Stegosaurus?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not from like natural ability.
Yeah, my oldest children, when they were younger, they used to want to draw dinosaurs all the time. They're like, oh, here, I'm looking up pictures of dinosaurs, trying to figure out how to draw dinosaurs.
Did you know Eddie thought that dinosaurs were not real?
Until recently. I thought it was just like Greek mythology, you know, like, oh yeah, they roamed the earth. Cool.
He's got 4 kids, by the way.
But now I do believe, Chris, they are real.
Hold on, I'm going to have to process.
Yes, exactly. Same thing. College degree, educated, 4 kids.
What college?
Sam Houston State.
Okay.
Did not believe in dinosaurs.
Did they believe in dinosaurs there?
Well, we never talked. I mean, you don't go to college and talk about dinosaurs.
You didn't take like a geology class or you know, something like that?
Nope. And I remember going, Chris, to the museum and seeing like prints or whatever. Like, oh, that's cute. Like, they're making that up. I don't know.
It's like Zeus to him.
Yeah, exactly.
He thought the T-Rex was like Zeus.
I mean, well, Zeus is not in the Museum of Natural History. I mean, maybe right. He is. I don't know.
No, I've changed my mind, Chris. I believe in him.
Smithsonian or something. I'm having a hard time with this.
No, we did too. We did too for a long time. Yeah. We thought he was kidding, but he really didn't know enough about them to think that they were real.
You sure this is not like an Andy Kaufman thing?
Where it is not.
Perpetuating the myth that he didn't believe in dinosaurs.
It is not. I thought so too for a while. Is it true that you have a specific car that you've had with you forever and that you play guitar in the same old guitar, same car, and that's what you go to the studio with every time you go?
Not the car, no.
I was reading Urban Legends about you, and that was the thing that you had.
Good luck. There's a lot of weird ones.
So that's not true at all?
No. I mean, I've got the Jeep that's on the interior of the Traveler cover, and I drive that, you know, that Jeep, and, you know, it's not necessarily for, it's not like a ritual.
And it's not one from like your age 17 that you've had the whole time you refuse to get out of. That's the legend.
No, no.
Dang. I need to start legends about me.
Let's
hear. Come on, I want some legends.
I want to start untrue legends. Legend.
This is untrue. True.
Yeah, like largest scrotum ever, and it would be like.
How is that a legend?
Well, it's not true, but it was like I was known for that.
Is that the first thing that popped in your mind to make it that you wanted to be an untrue legend about yourself?
I think so, Chris.
Yeah. You're in that boy band.
Yeah. Oh, I do have one. Oh, I was in O-Town.
Yeah.
Okay.
You remember that? I want it all, nothing at all.
Not really, but...
I was in a boy band, O-Town.
Okay. How'd you do?
They kicked me out.
They kicked you out?
Mm-hmm. And that is an urban legend about me.
I think you should keep that one rolling.
Yeah, I do too. I've never lost paper, rock, scissors in my life.
Never once. That's pretty good.
I learned to look in people's eyes and I can beat them. I know where they're going to go with it.
You're like, you know, World Series of Poker, but with.
I've never lost. I've never lost 2 out of 3. I've lost 1 out of 3, but I've never lost 2 out of 3. Not in the last 10 years, which is crazy. And so people will come and play me all the time and I play and I never lost. It's crazy. So that's another one that's not true.
Okay. I was just checking. So you were selling it right then.
But you went from never lost to just lost every once in a while to.
No. 1 out of 3 is not. It's like the World Series. You can lose 3 games.
Yeah, but he's still losing.
He's calling a match 2 out of 3, right?
Yeah. It's like Wimbledon.
Do you prefer 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 5?
Two out of 3.
I think I like 3 out of 5.
Let me ask you about music, because we're going to just talk like this forever. I got to get some music
That's what the people want.
I know. Some do, but some will be like, you had one of the greatest artists of our lifetime in, and you didn't even talk about music. So I'm going to do a little bit of this. Whenever someone asks you to be on a song, would you rather them ask you to play guitar on a song or to sing on a song?
I would rather ask them to...
Or they would ask you to.
Them ask me to be in on it from the beginning.
As in the creation, production wise, or
all
the
way.
Yeah.
That's what I would prefer. But, you know, depending on who they are and what the song is, and those are different scenarios, you know. Like, I do like to play guitar, but also, I find out the older I get, the more I really want to be in on the creation of things.
I'm going to let you in on a song that I'm working on. I haven't even started yet, but it's the hardest sing-along ever.
Okay.
And it's called Plural Rural Murals. And it's, you're driving through the, no one will write this with me. You're driving through the country, and there's a lot, you're looking everywhere, and they're everywhere. So plural, more than one.
Uh-huh.
Rural, because it's the country.
Thanks for explaining
and
what plural
And there are murals, yes. So we're driving
really
through.
Appreciate that.
And it's like, all right, everybody sing along, and it's about plural rural murals. And the thing is, you can't. It's hard to sing it. So
right.
If you're man of your word, you just got in early on that one.
Okay.
We'll do it.
Okay.
Did you just come up with that?
I know. I've been thinking about it for a long time.
You've been thinking about plural rural murals for
the hardest
sing along
ever. I want to write the hardest sing along ever. That's funny and catchy, but it's like the chorus.
What would the verses be just as tongue tied?
They don't have to be, but I think they should. The first verse should probably be setting it up. And then you do the chorus, and then the tongue ties in the second verse because now you know the joke. And then the bridge.
Just Billy Joel. Just do like a bunch of.
No, everybody, well, come on.
Yeah, just name a bunch of things that rhyme in ways that are hard to say, and then that's the chorus. You know, it doesn't have to make sense.
I don't feel like that's enough to be considered a writer, so you don't get no percentage on that one.
Are you calling Billy Joel not a writer?
Nope. So, I'm moving. I did not call him off. I did not say. So, White Horse is interesting because you wrote that song originally for the
It was a Lone Ranger film. Yeah.
Lone Ranger.
I mean, loosely. I walked in to write with Dan Wilson, and he's like, "Hey, they're looking for songs." Neither one of us necessarily, I don't think, had like an in to the Lone Ranger film. He had just heard that they were looking for songs for it, and it sounded like a good idea. And sometimes you just need a catalyst, you know, in a session like that to write something. And so that was our catalyst that day. It was like, hey, well, let's write. What would a Lone Ranger movie song be? And that's what this was.
When you write a song, do you send it off and let it be free and, you know, the people that pick the songs, pick the songs? Or do you go, this is one I think is a single, we should run with this one? Or do you feel like they're all singles and you let those people do that?
It's probably a little bit of both. I think Damon and the folks over at Universal would say, we had discussions about it, and sometimes I make them uncomfortable, and sometimes they make me uncomfortable. And somewhere in the middle of that, we arrive on what the path is. And I think this was not an obvious thing to go with, probably.
That's why I ask about that question about this song, because, again, there's no context of Lone Ranger. It's just this is Chris's new song, The White Horse.
Right.
So,
well, and there shouldn't be. You know, that movie, you know. It shouldn't be, really. That has nothing to do with it, that movie, really. Mm-hmm. Other than that's the story of how the song came to be.
Yeah.
You know, as far as picking it for a single, I do like to be, for lack of a better word, disruptive. You know, like, and do things that are maybe a little harder to sell or maybe different enough.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Why would I do that, or why do I want to do that?
No, why would you do that? Do you ever pick one that you think will be, yeah, this one sounds like a traditional radio single? Because you do constantly put out songs that go number one that don't sound like other songs that have gone number one.
Well, I think that's the only thing that you can have to differentiate yourself from something that sounds like everything else.
You have songs on your albums. I'm a big fan, by the way. Bobby here, big fan. Thank you.
Hey, nice to meet you, Bobby.
Thank you. Bobby, Washington Post. Yeah. You have songs that are definitely more radio, we'll call it radio friendly, that don't hit the radio as singles. And some of your songs that don't feel like they would be radio singles hit radio and then become a single. Like, it's almost like you're picking harder songs just so you can do it for the sake of it, because that's who you are.
Well, I mean, you may be giving me too much credit that I'm picking them wholly. There's definitely a discussion around it, and I have opinions in it. But, you know, sometimes it's like, all right, well, if you guys think that's what we should do, let's do that. Or sometimes I'm like, well, I think we should do this. I know that's going to be difficult for you and may only make it to number 16, but let's do that, because I think that I'm always trying to look for things that represent the album. And if you can represent out the album over the course of putting singles out on the album, I think that is for what I like, you know, the things that would draw people to the album and go, oh, well, that's different. Maybe I'll go check out what else is on the album. And that's always my goal. And I think that is probably a different mentality than other people have than when they just want the biggest hit they can have.
When you're writing songs as your day job and you're going, you know, 5 days a week and you're Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, sometimes two times a day.
I don't do that anymore.
But you did, because you have like 170 cuts, right? So there for years you're writing a bunch.
Yeah, no, I mean, when I first got to town, I would write two and three times a day.
But how do you keep coming up with new ideas? Because it's almost like a new way to say the same thing. Like do you sometimes, if it didn't work before, do you try that same idea again in a different way?
I don't like to recycle myself necessarily, but there are certainly, you know, things that you can lean into technique-wise that make that makes sense. You know, I know how the song goes, you know, like.
Do you get writer's block coming up with ideas?
I'm sure I probably do. I don't necessarily think of it as that. They'll either come when they come or they don't. And, you know, when you're doing the thing where you go in and you're working, you know, as a like a blue collar, working it like a songwriter would, you go in and you work it like a job, and you go in, and even if you don't have anything that day, 9 times out of 10, your co-writer has something. Or you sit there, if you go someplace with a purpose to do something, I think you get really good at turning that thing on. You know, like, so I have no problem walking into a room and going, oh, let's write a song. And I'm a big strum and hum guy, too. So I start from a melody. I start from the musical side of things a lot more than I would start from a lyrical side of things anyway. And then I would find words in a melody. You know, I'd start humming nonsense until a word popped out. And, all right, well, what does that mean in the context of what this song is? And then you try to form an idea around that. But, you know, and I've also walked in and a co-writer has handed me an entire lyric and said, hey, I don't have a melody for this. You know, it can be that, or the converse can be true. Someone would walk in with this wholly formed melody and go, I need lyrics over top of this. You know, it can go any number of ways, and you have to be open to doing it any way that presents itself that day. And so I don't want to worry about ideas. I don't worry about running out of ideas, because chances are, if you have an idea, it's already been done some way anyway. So I don't have any notions that we're reinventing or coming up with wholly original things all the time, because you just can't do that.
I don't have a melody for Plural Rural Murals.
Okay. What
so
are you thinking?
Just think, I'm not. I have
the shuffle?
I have the lyric. No, it's more of like a, it's more like soul, like something that Stapleton would do. But I haven't been,
I don't know.
I've been
thinking about it. It feels like a shuffle to me.
Yeah. I don't even know what that means, a shuffle.
Yeah, what does
but
that mean?
I don't know. Sometimes I just nod and say stuff. You know? How'd you get involved
with Come on, man. This is a country music show. You can know what a shuffle is.
Well, I know like the timing of a shuffle. Yeah, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Like a waltz and a shuffle. Yeah. Yeah. I know that.
It's a shuffle.
Okay. Well, I know a shuffle cards.
Yeah. Are you good at it?
Oh, yeah. My grandma taught me how to gamble when I was 6 years old.
You're mean at it.
I used to cheat a lot.
Yeah.
My grandma.
Can you stack a deck?
I can go under from under pretty quick without anybody noticing, but I haven't in a long time.
Yeah.
But I used to in college, I would cheat and make, that's how I made a lot of money, was cheating at cards. And then I played poker for a long time. I would go to Vegas every weekend. Won a big tournament once. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. You know how to do it.
And then I had to stop cold turkey because all I was doing was consumed in cards. Doyle Brunson books, odds. I was just, everything I did was doing this show and reading about cards. So I stopped. What are you obsessed with? Knives?
I wouldn't say I'm obsessed with them. Guitars, probably. Yeah.
More guitars or knives?
Oh, guitars. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
amplifiers, gear, you know, anything that can be made useful in creating music. Even if it's in the most wild, weird way, you know.
What do you mean wild, weird?
Like, oh, just like buying a 1970s drum machine or something, you know, something weird or not. Instruments I can't even play, drums, you know. Like, I'll buy things I can't even play just to see if I can make them lead to something.
Like creatively, sometimes you'll find something it'll give you a sound or a texture and that can take you somewhere else.
100%, yeah.
That's pretty cool. What instrument do you think would help you do Plural Rural Murals? Exactly. You don't know yet too much. It's over your head.
Think about it.
Yeah, it's over your head. Okay, look. I got two final questions for you. You know I love you. So I got two final questions for you. I keep you here all day. Yeah. You are known as a prolific songwriter now and guitar player. But I'm going to ask you to put that back on somebody else. Have you ever been in the room, and it could be one of your buddies, it could be somebody you wrote with the first time, that had a concept or a lyric that you were just like, oh my God, that is awesome.
Yes, pretty much every time I rhyme with somebody.
What comes to mind is one of the last times that happened?
I've co-written with somebody maybe once in the last 2 years. So I don't do a lot of that anymore.
Well, what about one of your hits from 5 years ago?
From 5 years ago?
Somebody gives you like a great lyric inside of it.
Well, I mean, most of the time when that happens, it would have been with Mike Henderson, who's no longer with us, but he was a poet, you know, and I would walk into that a lot in that room.
And just be blown away?
Yeah, just like, well, okay, yeah. My function in that room most of the time was to make up a melody.
Do you get tagged or people want to always show you people singing Tennessee Whiskey? I would assume everywhere you go.
Not a lot. I mean, people will send it to me when they're in some place that they don't think that they're going to hear it. Like somebody will be in Mexico and send a mariachi band playing it, or something. Which is awesome.
That's fine. You know?
Yeah. That's like that song. When I was on Idol too, everybody would try to sing. You have made that song just ubiquitous in all of music.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that gets to you because you're in it, but man, it's even from all the shows and musical and this, everybody wants to sing that song all the time where it's like, cool, that's good, but let's stop.
Like, yeah, it's kind of the point. I mean, I'm sure it's become.
Etta James at Last, they do that too a lot.
Yeah.
Like, great song, but when so many people sing it.
Yeah, well, it's hard. You know, like Willie Nelson's Crazy is another song like that I'm not saying.
It's not Willie or the song, but it's the people that keeps in every version of it.
And there's so many versions of songs, right. Like sometimes, you know, and sometimes they're done too. Like, you don't need to do them. But there's always somebody that can, you know, bring something to it. Mm-hmm. You know? So that's always, I mean, and I think the real challenge when you have a song that becomes that recognizable or fun for people to sing, the challenge becomes what can you bring to it? And it's almost like some kind of game for people, for singers almost. You know, like, I'm going to put this on it. And I don't know.
Do you ever not want to sing that song anymore?
No. Why would I not want to sing that song anymore?
I don't know, because you sang it so many times.
I mean, I've sung a lot of songs, but a lot of times. That song is the reason that you're sitting here talking to me right now, for the most part.
You were on before that. We had you on before.
That's true. That's true. You did, but that's the reason that you continue to talk to me. In a lot of ways.
I'm in love with you. Why I continue to talk to you, because I'm in love with you.
You have a lot of people on this show that sometimes, and I probably was in this category at one point, where, and forgive me if I not know how it works, but I think you probably have to have them on because they have a current single out or.
I used to have to do that. Not anymore.
Not anymore?
I don't have to do anything. Really, I don't have to do anything I don't want to do anymore.
Okay.
Every once in a while, a client thing, but mostly it's like.
Yeah. Well, but also sometimes it's a relationship thing, I'm sure, mm-hmm. where it's like, hey, I got my guy here. Bring him on.
For sure.
This is the new act. She's really good. I think you should check it out. And you have to roll the dice on those things sometimes, I think. And that's one of the strengths of this show, I think, is you bring people on that nobody's ever heard of, which I was one of those people at some point.
Megan Maroney covered What Are You Listening To? You played that on the show before. Have you heard her version?
I don't think I have.
Oh, no. My God. It's awesome. It's like that song was so good. I was always so disappointed that wasn't that first song. Because that song, I loved it.
I think everything worked out like it was supposed to. It's all good.
Do you believe in that? Do you believe in everything working out like it's supposed
to? I do. Even, you know, but particularly in the times that you're frustrated, thinking that something's supposed to be, I don't understand. This is a good whatever. I mean, it applies to any part of life. I think, you know, when things aren't working out like you think they should and you've done all the things that you think you're supposed to do to get the result that you think you're supposed to get, and it's just not lining up. I think if you can take a deep breath in those moments and go, all right, well, there's a reason none of this is lining up. I don't know what it is at this moment. I can't see it. I'm not happy about it. but move on with time and keep on pushing. And eventually you get to a place where you're like, oh, the reason that this didn't happen is because this other thing needed to happen.
And that's like Marcus Aurelius, like Meditations, the book. He just gave the whole book right there. And also it's like, that's why he hasn't taken plural or murals. There's got to be a real reason. There must be a really good.
I mean, I've been thinking about it the whole time. Okay. I do think it's a shuffle.
Okay. Well, let me know. Because I just don't have the melody. But okay, Chris. Oh, last question. Last question. When are you doing new more music?
When am I doing more music?
Yeah.
I just put a record
in November. I know, but let's like, I've listened to it a lot. I still like it, but I'm saying, you know, there's higher. Are you gonna do lower?
I hadn't thought about it until now, but you know, no, that's not a real thought currently. There wasn't any thought and carrying that on through into something. But
is anything recorded right now?
Oh no.
Oh, okay, then okay.
I mean, there. Listen, all records have things that are recorded that don't exist in a commercial
but new
way.
But that have happened since for a new something, nothing exists.
No.
Okay. All right. That's good. We're done then. I'm done with them. Anybody else? Anybody else good?
I'm good.
All right. Chris, congratulations. I love when you come around.
Man, thank you.
Yeah, it's awesome. You guys heard of this guy, Chris Stapleton?
Oh, yeah.
Guys
good? Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Chris, good to see you. There he is. Chris Stapleton, Chris, everybody. All-American Road Show. Back out. So go check it out. He's got a bunch of great acts. The Warren Treaty, freaking love him.
Awesome.
Alan Stone, love him. I could go through the whole list. You have great taste.
Well, my wife has great taste and because she is always the front. You know, she's the tip of the spear on steering some of the opener stuff. So she's the discovery person in our house. I listen to music that I listen to when I'm 17 a lot, you know, or guys that are dead, you know. But that's a good combo. You know?
Sounds dark, man.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to go there. All right, there he is. Chris Stapleton, everybody. Nice job.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
Y'all, I'm just living my best rom-com life over here, okay? I just live in general like I am in a movie. I talked last weekend about romanticizing my life with Amy, and that's my goal for 2024, and I've kind of always been that way. But, like, I just love movies, and I think there's something to treating your life like it is a movie in the best way possible. Obviously not like the action comms and there's aliens coming from the sky, but, like, you're excited about everything, and you do things that are fun instead of just the monotony of everyday life. And so I had a very creative date idea for an upcoming fourth date with a man that has been nicknamed the Cowboy. And I got roasted for it. I thought this was a great idea. And you know what? I did have this date. And it was a great idea. And all you dirty minds were wrong. It was a great time. Nothing crazy happened. I laughed my butt off. And I really enjoyed it. But this segment right here, you're about to hear me get roasted. And I hope it makes you laugh.
Number three.
I had a talk with Eddie. We were in his Jeep. I was like, man, you got to take your wife. You got to take your wife to this comedy thing she wants to go to in California.
Yeah.
Like, she would love it. She has to go to the show. And Eddie's like, we can't do that.
I'm
like,
it's expensive. It's LA, man. And this ticket's not going to be cheap.
But it's May.
Yeah, we got time. We got time to save.
A lot of listeners, too, have sent voicemails. Here's one from last night.
Eddie, you're complaining about your wife wanting to go see these comedians in LA. It's expensive. You can't do it. You travel all the time. You go everywhere. You and Bobby are always in all these cities doing your podcasts. And your wife is in Nashville every day, day after day, taking care of your four kids. Give that woman some adventure and take her on that trip.
We're working.
Yes. I agree.
I
don't go on vacation.
But you know why you work? So you can do something fun with your wife occasionally.
Yeah. Wow.
That is true.
Yeah.
Like, and I need to start thinking more like that. Like, I need to, like, not be like, oh, we just do work. So when I'm not working, I just want to stay home.
Right.
Because that's my mentality.
Because she stays home, though, and she wants to go do something.
She deserves to go.
No, but you are right. You're working, dude. So I would tell your wife, hey, sorry, I'm working when I go on these trips.
Do you love her?
My wife?
Yeah.
Love her deeply.
What's a sports team in L.A.?
The Rams.
For too much access.
For May? No, we're not going to do a work thing. He does that while he's doing work. No. He needs to take his wife.
And I'll pay for the trip.
He needs to take his wife and just do this. It's two Southwest tickets and a hotel. You can do it. And don't take the kids. I'll watch them.
No, you wouldn't.
Okay.
You'll leave and have four. You may come back with less.
Exactly.
But you love her, yes or no?
I do love her, man. And we talked about it. And I think you're right. Like, I probably should do this.
And it's in May. You can get the tickets earlier so they cost less. No problem.
Hotels, though, in L.A., dude, they're expensive. They're not cheap.
No, La Quinta's not that expensive.
Everything's expensive, dude.
Everything.
Welcome to the world.
That's why I don't like to leave the house.
How long have you been married?
Gosh, about to be 19 years. 18 years right now.
Keep that flame going. Like, what would you tell Morgan about love?
Oh, Morgan, just be patient. Love's there, and you're going to fall in love. And when you find that person, Morgan, it's going to be the most beautiful thing in your life.
Except you don't want to take them on trips when they really want to go.
Yeah, because, you know, you work a lot. Yeah, you travel a lot. You know what I mean?
Morgan, how's it going with you? What's your dating situation?
I'm still going on dates. I have a potential prospect right now. We are going on our fourth date together.
For a date? Okay, so for a relationship.
Yes.
A prospect. What if he heard you call him a prospect?
Well, what else do you call it? Like a dude?
Right.
Is he the only prospect?
right now?
Currently, yes.
Okay. And then four dates. When does it start to get serious? Maybe isn't the word. When does it start to get a little more serious? After what date?
I feel like, I mean, I guess it depends more on timeline than dates. More like a month in, you're kind of starting to evaluate, like, okay, do I want to just see this person only? Because I'm still on the dating apps and stuff, even though, like, it's our fourth date and I'm really interested in him. I'm still not putting all my eggs in one basket.
Is he like your last boyfriend's kind of like a loser?
No, so far he's not a loser.
But I mean that, you know.
No, he doesn't have that energy.
Right. It's definitely an energy.
Yeah.
But did the old boyfriends have that energy
yes,
too?
Okay. They did. Muscles a little too big, you know. Chains a little, yeah, hair a little too gel.
Chains.
Yeah, like necklace chain, you know. It's just a whole vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy, more of like one of us.
He's more of a country cowboy. He has been nicknamed the cowboy. So. Oh.
By you?
Yeah, by me and my girlfriend.
Does he wear a cowboy hat?
No, he wears cowboy boots though.
Okay. And you've been on four dates. What's the most fun date you've been on with him?
Oh, well, we went and got like Mexican food somewhere, and then we bar hopped to like three different bars, and that was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
We vibed. But like our next date, we're playing board games in Twister.
You,
so I'm excited. Wait,
oh, hold on, Twister.
You did or
Twister.
You're
going to?
Hold on. Oh, you're going to.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Twister. Yeah.
Mine, because it's amazing. Okay. It's so much fun.
You know that that's
leads
like
to
getting all tangled
like he knows
up.
What he's doing.
Yeah, it
here.
Can be intimate, but guys, I chose Twister because I think it's funny and it's a fun
but where?
Thing. At my house.
You're invited. He's coming to your house.
And it's just
he's got to meet the animals.
And it's only you two playing Twister at your house.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Question. Oh, no, not oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Hey, question.
Yeah.
Is it a naked Twister?
No.
That's not how it starts.
Right.
Twister can just be innocent and fun,
it's not
intimate.
True. It can,
like,
yes.
Not for adults.
It can, but it's going to be tough for it just to be that.
Yeah, date number four.
Date number five.
Oh, yeah. Oh, date number five?
Wow. Date number five at her house playing Twister alone.
Uh-huh.
They ain't going to twist long.
Nope.
No.
Oh, they'll be twisting long.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah. No.
With the board. You know, right hand only be on red for a little bit.
They're not going to spin that dial very often.
Guys, Twister's this fun, innocent game. Okay. Quit it.
What game did he suggest?
Well, we were talking about playing cards and stuff, too. That's also what we're playing.
She said whenever she texted, like, no. And then we can play Twister.
No, he wants to play Doctor.
Oh, yeah, Twister. He saw Twister and was like,
guys.
Hey, guys.
He got the cartoon feet.
Oh, he's stretching.
So when do you want him to stop? Is that a conversation like, hey, get off the app?
Yeah, I feel like that's a conversation when you, like, really want to exclusively see each other. That's a conversation that happens.
How do you have the get off the app conversation? Instead of the define the relationship?
I think they're one and the same. You know, it's kind of like, okay, we're only seeing each other. That's kind of like get off the app.
Do you wait for him to pull himself off the app? Like, somebody has to do it first.
Yeah, because you know, I've had this theory. You always want somebody that's just a little bit more in love with you. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit more. Mm-hmm.
But what not, if everybody not a lot. Had that?
Huh?
Not a lot.
You can't. Everybody can't.
I know.
Can't you be the one that loves a little more?
Right. Well, because girls...
I am. Am I?
Yeah.
I'm way more in love with my wife than she has me.
Oh, yeah.
And you want the guy to be.
Yeah. That,
for some reason, it just makes sense. I don't know how to explain it.
Would you ever do a thing where you get out your phones together and you're
I
like,
I never had
okay.
somebody come play Twister at my house.
No.
I just started, are you kidding?
That'd be amazing.
Could they do this thing where they get out their phones together and they're like, all right, on the count of three, we're going to delete the app together.
No, that would not happen.
Sounds a little hokey.
That's very awkward and like high schoolish.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how you even know if they really delete it.
Check.
Let's tell
your friends will tell you.
That too. Oh. I mean, they would see him.
Yeah, you'll get a screenshot real soon if he's not off the app. Let's
go. It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes. I guess identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Cowie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on Storybutton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I always get nervous when the lunchbox comes up to me and he's like, hey, I need your help. I need you to come with me. And we have to leave the studio to go film something because I'm like, what secondhand embarrassment am I going to get today? And that happened this week. He went to Starbucks because Starbucks said you could bring any cup and we'll fill it up with coffee because they're trying to reduce the impact for environmental things on using one-time cup situation. So Lunchbox shows up in the back of Scuba Steve's truck with a four-foot-tall Sonic cup that normally sits in our studio. You've probably seen it on videos or pictures. And he tries to get that filled up. And I'm sitting in the back seat, like, cranked as a literal twister, pun intended from that last segment, and trying my hardest not to laugh while trying to discreetly video him doing this whole thing. And what you're about to hear is what I was there and got the secondhand embarrassment from, because it was warranted. Lunchbox tried to get a giant cup filled with coffee for free. Well, essentially for like $4. Basically free if they actually would have filled up the whole thing. So this will also give you a good little laugh on a Saturday. Here is Lunchbox at Starbucks with a giant cup.
Number two.
Amy had a story about Starbucks trying to reduce waste. So they say you can bring your own cup and they'll fill it up.
Yeah.
And we were like, you can bring any cup? How big? And so we have this massive cup in our studio. It is almost 4 feet tall. It measures at almost 450 ounces. It's basically a decorative giant Sonic cup. It's not a real cup. However, you can put stuff in it. So Lunchbox took this cup, loaded it into his car. So you did?
No, I loaded it in the back of Scuba's truck.
I was going to say it's big.
Because I didn't know how I would do it. And so I'm in the bed of the pickup truck.
Oh,
in the drive-thru. Scuba.
He's driving and you're back there with the cup.
Yeah, and so he pulls up past the speaker where I'm at the speaker and I'm the one doing the ordering with the big old cup because I want to know, will they fill it up?
Because that's what they said, right? You bring a cup, they fill
yeah.
it up.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
What can I get started for you?
Yeah, you guys are doing that where you can bring your cup and you'll fill it up with coffee or whatever, right?
Right.
Yeah, so I'm going to just bring my cup and I'm going to fill it up with regular coffee.
Just a pipe.
I guess grande, because that means big, right? It's a big cup.
Alrighty. And then it's just going to be $3.44.
All right. Thank you.
They don't know what this cup is waiting for.
It's not grande. It's big, though, is it? It's the biggest one?
Grande
is like a tetra or something?
Grande is the middle.
I don't know. Trenti. Grande in Spanish means big.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but this is Italian, yeah. I think.
Grande is medium.
It is. I don't know.
Starbucks.
See, I don't know.
So maybe it's a big meat. Regardless, this cup is there. When you first said, hey, she was like, yeah. Was she confused?
Yeah, because I guess they have a camera right there.
Oh, they can see you.
So you can see me.
Oh, that's why.
But they couldn't see the cup. The cup's laying down.
So you're just a hillbilly in the back of the truck.
I'm the hillbilly in the back of the truck. And they're like, okay.
All right, so here he is pulling up to the window.
Hello. I'm just trying to fill up the cup.
It's just black coffee.
Unfortunately, we can't fill that up.
Oh, because it won't fit through the window?
No, because it's not a personal cup.
No, this is what I drink out of. Look, I got my straw.
I'm sorry, sir.
See, it's my straw.
Also, we can't fill that up with coffee, only because the most we can fill up is going to be about 20 ounces.
I mean, I can fit it through the window if you need me to.
Right, but that's not the thing is we can't fill more than 20 ounces.
Okay, why don't we just put 20 ounces in there?
Okay.
All right.
And then it's just 344.
Oh, 344. All right. And can I get two creams for that? Oh, two creams. Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
You too.
They poured 20 ounces in the cup?
Yeah.
How'd they get it there?
She took a cup, stuck it out the window, and poured it into the Sonic cup.
That's defeating the purpose of them not having no
100%. Cup. Then she took the creamers, poured them in a cup, and handed me the cup with the creamer, and I poured it in.
Oh, man.
What'd you learn from this?
I learned that they will not fill up any cup, only a 20-ounce cup. Up to a 20-ounce cup.
Yeah. And this 450-ounce.
Oh, it was a no-go.
Probably.
And it wasn't because it wouldn't fit in the window.
I never heard it was up to 20 ounces in your story. Did you keep that from us?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, and she didn't think it was a personal cup, so I proved it to her. I put the straw in there. I was like,
he put his mouth on it. Look.
Who was laughing in the background?
The people in the other workers.
Do they know you're messing with her, or do they just think you're an idiot?
I think they thought I was just an idiot. I mean, because they were... I mean, she was so angry.
Yeah, she didn't sound like she was part of a joke.
Right, but everybody else around her... was enjoying it.
Yeah.
Except for her.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
Yeah. The video is great.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll put it up.
Yeah.
All right. Go over to bobbybones.com to see the video.
Let's go. It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
The dating topics continue, but this time it is not me. No. This is Amy. She got a message from a guy asking what her dating protocol is. Like, how is she going to go on a date? What does it look like? All the details of what that is. And she's like, guys, I have no idea what's happening. So she brought it to the show a little reluctantly. I think you can hear it in her voice in this segment, but it's an Amy single update. Well, single Amy. I'm not going to sing the song because I'm terrible at it that they do in the studio, but we do have an update on her potentially going on a date. So without further ado, the number one spot.
Number one.
So what's your deal?
What do you mean?
You know, your deal.
I'm...
Like your deal. I don't...
Here.
I know, but I don't know what I can...
I know. I'll just say I haven't gone out on a date, but I...
That's what I'm asking. Like, what's the situation?
Right. I assume that's what
you're asking. What can I even
ask
about?
Am I dating?
Like, are you trying to date since you've been divorced?
I have been messaged about a date.
Like, DM'd?
Yeah, well, it...
Okay.
Yes.
Let's go.
Why are you being fishy?
Because I don't know.
Because the person was fishing for a date.
No, I bet she's on an app.
I don't know for sure, for sure. If
I bet
I'm
you're
gonna
on an
go.
App. I bet you're on an app. Is it an app? Are you on an app? Are you on a dating app?
What? You said.
Are you on a date?
Yeah, you heard the question.
You said we were going to talk about details.
But you got weird.
I know. Because I feel weird. Because I feel weird.
But you said okay, somebody messaged you, so I said it's a DM. You could have lied and just said yes, but instead you're like, what?
I don't want to lie.
Okay, so go ahead. Well, I won't pry.
Okay.
Somebody sent me a message.
Yeah, so been messaging with someone, and then they said, what's your protocol for going on a date? And I was like, I don't really have a protocol because I haven't gone out with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So
did you say that? I don't have a protocol because I haven't gone out with anybody?
No, I said, I don't have a protocol because I'm new to this.
Uh-huh.
And then I just said,
do you put divorced in your profile?
You have to.
You do?
No.
Amy, if you don't, then new to this sounds weird. Like you've never dated. And
I know.
You're...
Like I'm for.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. He said, what's your protocol for going out on a date?
Okay.
And I said, I don't have a protocol. And then I got nervous. I didn't know what to say. So I just said, you haven't murdered anybody, right?
I had a girl.
Question mark.
That's smooth.
That was your second question?
She hadn't done this a lot or whatever.
Wow. Yeah.
So,
and then his answer was?
Then I feel like maybe did I set the bar too low? Mm-hmm.
He was like, she knows.
It was a joke, though. So
right, I know, but it's not like...
It's fine. I obviously care
about more than that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
What was his answer to that?
There was communication back and forth before that, and then now nothing. I'm like, okay.
Oh, after you sent that, he ghosted? He's out?
Well, I don't know that he's out. Maybe he's on a break.
He murdered someone.
Or he's going to murder you.
The options are he has murdered somebody.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, busted.
That's how he gets busted.
Or he doesn't think that was
a funny joke. Because his family was murdered.
Right.
Oh, right.
Oh,
when he was a child.
Oh, my gosh. Didn't think about that.
It hit a little too close to home. He doesn't log on all the time, or he takes little breaks. And then,
yeah, I think that's the story you make up. Because I would make those stories up too, just generally to cushion the blows.
Okay.
But I don't think that was, I think that's funny.
Yeah, what was I supposed to say? Like, what's my protocol? I don't know.
Is that common to ask, like, what's your protocol? I've never heard that before.
I think it's just him trying to start a conversation in
that direction.
In that. And also, you're talking about, like, they're both, I'm assuming the guy's got to be at least 40, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's like,
why'd you answer it like that?
Yeah, like, what? That's how he is.
What?
I just am weird.
How old?
He is. He's 40 something. I don't know what details to give or not to give.
I don't either. I don't know. That's why I started. It's like, what? Okay. So
I know. I'm going
to
get more.
Morgan, what would you say to her? As someone who's lived on the apps.
Yes.
What would you tell Amy in this situation?
I think it was great that you were yourself, and that's what you should do. You should not try and be anybody else, and you were being very playful and flirty in that situation.
Yes,
and if he doesn't respond, then you move forward.
That's flirty?
Yeah, you're having
joking.
Fun.
You're like, have you murdered anyone?
Okay, I didn't say
but, but it was meant as that, kind
right,
of.
Right.
Okay, well, let us know if he replies.
I will.
Good luck.
Golly. What's your upper index?
Can I get more comfortable with this eventually, I guess?
I don't
I'll
know.
Try.
You tell us.
Because I feel so uncomfortable
right now.
What's
your upper age index?
50.
That's as high as you go?
I put like 30 to 50.
30? Okay.
Yeah.
Cougar.
Cougar.
I got Cougar.
Yeah.
You don't want to go up from 50 at all?
Maybe I've changed it to 35 because when 32-year-olds
No, I said from 50.
No, sorry. But I was thinking about how I think I've increased it because when a 32-year-old messaged me about something, I was like, well, this feels weird. And I was like, I don't know the age thing. And they said, is it a total deal breaker? I'm like, I think
they said, have you murdered him?
That's a deal breaker.
Well, yeah. Let us know how this transpires. We won't pressure you.
Okay. Oh, I will. Thank you for being...
Kind and gentle,
kind
you got it.
Kind and gentle, yes, to me during this time.
It's weird he just disappeared, though. Because obviously he was interested. That shouldn't make him not interested, that one question. Unless somebody's been murdered in his family or he has murdered someone.
Right.
But I think you do have to put it like an emoji smiley face that you're kind of joking.
I don't think so. I think it's known as it's a known joke.
Okay.
Right, Morgan? It's a known joke. Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
The emojis sometimes from the older guys is weird to me. I don't know why.
Older as in?
50.
50's not that much older than you.
I know, but I'm struggling with all the emojis and the smiley faces.
From men in general or from...
Well, I don't have that many communications. I can't talk. I haven't messaged with that many people, but there's a 50-year-old and there was lots of laughy faces and smiely faces. And
yeah, that's weird. You can't go heavy emoji
right.
Early.
I
that's
know.
Weirdo.
I agree. Like it.
Or if they sign their messages.
Like with their
like
signature.
Sign off with their name.
Yeah, like they write a message and like signed Clint.
Oh yeah.
They're like, no, dude, I know who it's from.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, keep us updated, okay?
Ooh, it's hot in here.
No.
Actually, pretty chilly. Yeah.
Let's go. It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
Alrighty, y'all. That's it from me on Best Bits Part 2. Please, again, go check out Part 1, Part 3 with Scuba Steve this weekend. It's really exciting. If you've never given it a chance, I hope you do. We're pretty entertaining over there, and it gets a little unhinged, especially listener Q&A was very unhinged. I always try and keep them in a short time because I'm trying to be respectful of everybody's times, and you know, there's only so much time in a day, and all these people have families and partners. But Scuba comes in here, man, and he just rolls. And I'm like, buddy, you got to get home to your wife. It's a whole thing. So I'm telling you, it's worth it. Check out Part 1, Part 3. If you don't, though, thanks for checking out Part 2. I hope you have a fabulous weekend. We will see you later.
That's the best bits of the week with Morgan. Thanks for listening.
Be sure to check out the other two parts this weekend.
Go follow the show on all social platforms.
At Bobby Bones Show.
And follow at WebGirl Morgan.
To submit your listener questions for next week's episode.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.